Well, as you know, the General Assembly is done and the laws have been passed. But what will happen when the governor gets the budget? Will he sign it? What laws has he vetoed? And what's next for the reconvened session? It's State of the Water. I'm your host, Dr. Eric LaVille, and you're joining us for our 2024 Virginia General Assembly Review and Talk Back. Looking back, looking forward. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's State of the Water. I'm your host, Dr. Eric LaVille. Once again, we want to thank you for joining us on this beautiful Sunday, as you always do, as we broadcast from the campus of the Norfolk State University, home of the Spartan Nation, from WNSB Hot 91, the soul of VA. I want to give a shout out and congratulations to the Lady Spartans that played a tremendous game against Stanford in the women's NCAA tournament. One thing about Norfolk State, we show up. Also, congratulations to the men in hosting their game of the College Insider tournament, which was hosted here against Alabama A&M. Again, congratulations to both men and women's teams for a phenomenal season. And as you continue moving forward in your programs, continue to make the Spartan Nation proud. And like I said, without your support, we can do what we do, bringing movers, shakers, and policymakers to you to discuss issues important to the community every single Sunday here on State of the Water. Well, listen, the General Assembly is over. And for those of you that are faithful listeners to the show, you know that we cover, you know, wall to wall what's happening in the policy, what's happening in Richmond, what's happening locally as it relates to the General Assembly and how laws are made to dictate our lives. And now we're starting our Talk Back series, and we're bringing to you the lawmakers that help to make the laws, the ones that help to pass, and those that are chairing committees to ensure that policies are created to better not just your life, but the life of your community, our cities, and the Commonwealth of Virginia. So joining us today, we have none other than my good friend, my guy, and NSU legend, Delegate Cliff Hayes Jr. Delegate Hayes, how are you doing this morning?
Doing absolutely fantastic, Dr. Seville, and a hearty behold to you and the listening audience.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, when I talk about you being a NSU legend and a great supporter of the institution, you know, that I'm just not just saying that, but I want our audience to understand that you are NSU through and through. Born and bred, school here, played college baseball here, won championships here, but not just that, but also when you came back to represent your community of Chesapeake, you're also representing Norfolk State in the legislature. So on behalf of Norfolk State, on behalf of our great president, Dr. Von Adams Gaston, our board of visitors, all of our supporters, thank you. Thank you for all that you do for NSU.
Oh, yeah, it's just our time to give back. Norfolk State has done so much for us, for me and my family, going all the way from my parents, mom, dad, my wife, my in-laws, my mother-in-law, my mother and my father-in-law, aunts, uncles, next-door neighbors, pastor. we all bleed green and gold.
Like I said, brother, NSU through and through. So that is phenomenal. Now, I want to get into this legislative series. Of course, this is our talk back session, looking back, looking forward. And one thing about this session is this, first of all, this isn't your first rodeo. I mean, you have a career as a public servant in the city council in Chesapeake and now here in the state legislature as a state delegate and also chair the Hampton Roads Caucus. And I want you to talk a little bit about that and your leadership in the session. But if you could, just give us a little reflection on your time in this session and how historic it was, given the new leadership, African-American leadership that we had.
Dr. Claville, if we wanted to set out and strategize, there is absolutely no way it could have been done if we had wanted to plan this. As I reflect back with my imaginary YouTube mind, going to the General Assembly my senior year as a senior there at Norfolk State University and imagining today that we would have Virginia's first Speaker of the House, Chair of Senate Finance and Appropriations, the House appropriation, the leader, the majority leader of the House, all of that leadership, knowledge, and power, every last one of them are African Americans. I was even talking to some past members of the General Assembly who are African American who served many years ago, decades ago, and one gentleman responded by saying, yeah, we were here fighting, and we were excited to be here, breaking history, representing our communities, and serving in the General Assembly. But they never even imagined being the Speaker of the House.
Wow.
It wasn't even something that they fathomed. But we do know that elections do have consequences. And for those years, for those times when folks wallow in apathy and they're less likely to participate, let this be a lesson to those who say, I don't vote, I won't vote, it's not going to make a difference.
You know, real quick, but let me stop you there. When you say that, with the voter apathy part, I still can't believe today that there are people that believe that voting doesn't make a difference. You know, if you just look at, I mean, from what you just said, all of the great leadership from the history making, the late great Yvonne Miller, Senator Miller here from Norfolk State, you know, all through the Black Caucus, here in the General Assembly, they never imagined that they could be Speaker of the House or other leadership. Now, again, eventually, right? I mean, we did have Doug Wilder as governor, but still, when you look at how historic it is and the power that we have here in Hampton Roads, I think when it comes to people saying elections don't matter and I don't need to vote, I think that eliminates all of that foolishness, all that noise.
Absolutely.
You know, so I don't know what more we could do to get people to get out and vote, but, you know, hopefully some of the things that have happened in this past session, I think we'll start to get the noise out and people will start to move forward. Delegate Hayes, tell us a little bit about, now, before we get into some of the legislation that you've championed and some of the leadership that you serve on in committees, you know, one of our great times that we have on Capitol Hill as a university is NSU Day on the Hill. And it's an opportunity for us to come and bring our students, our faculty, our alumni, our president, and to meet one-on-one with our legislators and advocate for our legislative priorities. You know, and you're one of the top speakers. You are one of the ones that we come see, and we love to come up to the Hill, and we love for NSU to see you. Tell us a little bit about, give us a little reflection of that day and what it meant to you to see your alma mater standing there, seeing you there as a state delegate.
Yeah, Dr. Cavill, it was just powerful. Again, looking back, my imaginary YouTube mind pressing rewind in my years there at Norfolk State as a student, bright-eyed, hopeful, looking forward to the future. Looking at the leaders who were there in the General Assembly, it never crossed my mind to even think about being in such a role. But to see Norfolk State come through their doors and to visit with a room packed full of sharp, smart, intelligent, inquisitive, energized students, alumni, and faculty is just beholding.
Wow.
It's touching to me because, as I told the students, I remember a time when coming to the Virginia General Assembly and to hear comments being made about our university in disparaging form, and then to find myself in a position to carry out the summons from Dick Price that we are to throw the rope back. I get excited every time I think about the fact that I'm in a position to throw the rope back. So for any student that's a part of Virginia's Norfolk State University, Virginia Legislative Day, I just get excited about the opportunity to talk to and share my experience with the students.
Absolutely, absolutely. And listen, students seeing you as well, trust me, it's really sometimes just that one moment to see someone else do it, and it compels them to do great things themselves. So, again, That was a great moment for us. And of course, as you know, as you just articulated, a great moment for you as well. It's Stay the Water. I'm your host, Dr. Eric LaVille. You're joining us now for our 2024 Virginia Assembly Legislative Talkback. Looking back, looking forward. We're talking none other with NSU legend, great supporter, my friend, my guy, Delegate Cliff Hayes Jr. As we delve into some of the laws that were passed, that were championed, some successes, maybe, and some losses, and what's ahead for the Virginia budget. Delegate Hayes, tell us a little bit about, first of all, the leadership that you have in the General Assembly, because I think it's very important that our audience understands who's leading committees and who's leading caucuses and the importance of that. And let's take a look at a few pieces of legislation that you championed that was eventually passed in the legislature.
Well, I guess in the way of leadership roles that I have, I am currently the chair of Communications, Technology, and Innovation Committee, which is all things technology. Any legislation that has anything to do with technology gets referred to my committee. Beyond that, there are study committees around technology, such as the Joint Commission on Technology and Science. I am the chair of that commission. And for the very first time in the Commonwealth of Virginia, that commission right now in our budget, as well as the bill to go along with it, we will staff that Joint Commission on Technology and Science. It only makes sense during this time, with all the things that we have to deal with in the way of technology, that we make sure we do thorough study around these issues and carefully craft law in that space. So I'm happy to be the chairman of JCOC as well.
Awesome. And not just that, but the Hampton Roads Caucus, you know, when we talk about legislators and the power of the group of legislators that we have, you know, I said to myself, I said, listen, Hampton Roads is the center of political power, at least for the next half decade. And really, when you look at the census, I'm going to have to adjust that and say the next decade, because what we have here in Hampton Roads is historic. We talk about leadership, African-American leadership, of course, in the House and Senate. But when we talk about leadership and elected officials who are true public servants, I think Hampton Roads truly leads that. Give us a little bit about the Hampton Roads Caucus and your responsibilities there.
We have an organization here that's made up of state elected officials, the House members, members of the House of Delegates, members of the Senate who represent districts in Hampton Roads. All of those members belong to a body entitled the Hampton Roads Caucus. Our job is to make sure that we strategize, protect, and initiate legislation that will be in the best interest for Hampton Roads. And so that's what we do as a body of elected leaders, and I'm happy to be a leader amongst leaders. So we held our most recent election when we were in session, the first week of session. And I was chosen by my peers to be the chair of the Hampton Roads Caucus.
Awesome. Awesome. And again, a great chairman indeed. Now, there were some legislation that you sponsored, and of course, and also the Virginia Legislative Black Caucus and the Democratic Caucus pushed in order to get passed, and you were very successful. Tell us a little bit about some of those pieces of legislation that you're most proud of, that you championed and got across the finish line.
Wow. This session?
Yeah.
I do not have enough fingers and toes to point out all of the great legislation that actually got passed. But what I will do is start by sharing with you the core values that we decided we would take on heading into the session. So one of the things we said we wanted to make sure we would do is to secure our children's future through a world-class education. So we wanted to make sure that we invest in the education process for our young people.
Awesome.
We were going to And then we were going to make sure that we were going to revitalize the infrastructure for all across the Commonwealth, from Northern Virginia to Hampton Roads to Southwest Virginia and all points in between. Then we wanted to make sure that we foster an economy that works for all hardworking Virginians. And then, of course, we wanted to keep Virginia communities and our children safe. And then finally, we wanted to make sure that we protect the rights and the freedoms for all Virginians. Those were the core values that we had going into the session. And so through that, we were able to sponsor legislation that successfully got passed and is practically over in the governor's lap, waiting for his signature. And I might add that all of the initiatives that we kind of pointed to and pushed were things that all Virginians believe are in the best interest of the Commonwealth. And the great thing about it all, as our former governor, the great Doug Wilder, once said, it's nice to have a piece of the pie, but it's even greater when you have your hand on the knife when the pie.
That's right.
And so the major part of what we did this time was not only the bills, but we looked at the budget during this long session that we had this time. We were able to make sure that we raised the teacher pay above the national average in education. There was somewhere in the neighborhood of 7% pay raise school teachers over the biennium. We were going to make sure that $1 billion were put in place, K-12, to fully fund the re-benchmarking. We had $500 million for most of the most vulnerable students that we have in the Commonwealth, $205 million for our public colleges and universities for their operations. That list goes on and on.
Absolutely. You know, when you talk about education, you know, I remember that JLARC study, right, the Joint Legislative Study that was put together that looked at how we were funding our K-12 schools. And the results came back that it was abysmal, the formula that we were utilizing. You know,
antiquated.
Absolutely. I mean, it basically kept our – now, we have a great state, a great educational system, and we were really doing our children a major disservice. Give us a little bit about that, what you believe the impact of funding our K-12 system the right way, which the General Assembly passed, that impact that it'll have upon our schools here in Norfolk and Chesapeake, the area that you serve.
Yeah, we have got to keep ourselves front and center with regards to funding our K-12 education for our kids. Our Constitution says that we will do and make sure that every single student is afforded and gets a high-quality education. That's the environment in which they're learning in. That's the supplies. That's the books and materials. It's taking care of the professionals that are molding their minds and all of the wraparound services that go along with that. And so we just do everything we can to make sure that that's the case. Now, we do know that there is an issue with the fiscal plan of many of our schools. We want to take the load off the localities and their budget and their funding for education so that they can make sure that they can arrive at a place where they can afford to build adequate facilities so as children aren't sitting in the classroom with their coats on and hats trying to learn.
Right. Again, some of our schools so antiquated that, again, it needs that boost. You know, of course, the spending for students and operations, but also the capital boost to bring our schools up to par in the communities that need it the most. When we talked about voting earlier, and there was a major piece when we looked at voting. Number one, we looked at individuals wanting to stop early voting on the other side. And then we looked at Virginia Beach and their 10-1 system. Talk to us a little bit about the fight that the General Assembly, the Democrats, had with pushing back on individuals wanting to cut voting back more?
Well, that's the darnest thing.
That's a good way to put it.
We all love the fact that we are a part of this experiment of having a democracy. But one of the fundamental tenets of having a democracy is to make sure that the people's voices are heard, that we don't stifle, snuff out the voices of the people. In other words, there ought to be no obstruction to the ballot box. If people are duly available as citizens and eligible to vote, we need to make sure that that is the case. And to have people doing things to try to make it difficult and hard, put obstacles in their way, it just sounds like a repeat of the past, where folks stopped individuals, certain individuals, when they were trying to vote, asking them how many bubbles in a bar of soap, and all of that foolish. You know, in my death, both on the floor and in my office in Richmond, and on my electronic tablet, I carry with me a reminder. It's a receipt of Margie Bowes, my grandmother, who I love so dearly. And I can remember like yesterday her encouraging me to pay attention as she would go to vote. I carry the receipt of 1964 of her paying her poll tax, her capitation tax in the city of Chesapeake. That's a reminder that it wasn't that long ago.
Right. Absolutely. Wasn't that long ago. That's why we have to keep fighting and understanding what we're fighting for. Before we end, I want us to take the last part of the show to talk about the very important budget. So we have laws that were passed. We've talked about voting. We talked about funding for schools. We talked about several other initiatives that you helped to champion and the Democrats, especially for the communities and the people. Now, we all know it all boils down to money. You talked about it's good to have the knife in your hand to carve out the pie, right? So we've got a budget. We've got one of the best budgets we've had in a long time, and I want you to speak to that. But now it's at the governor's desk. And there's been a threat here or there to veto the budget. As a matter of fact, he's campaigning on the backyard or the backwards budget, right? So tell us a little bit about where the budget is, or you want to talk a little bit about the budget, where it is, and what do we think is going to happen down the road?
Well, I'll just start by saying that for the first time in a while, the General Assembly closed, sine die, adjourned on time with a budget, agreed to by both the House and the Senate. That ought to tell us something. 100 members of the House, 40 members of the Senate. The majority of those folks agreed it was a bipartisan budget, Republicans and Democrats alike. And the House voted for this budget. Democrats and Republicans alike in the Senate voted to pass this budget. Overwhelmingly, the budget passed the House and the Senate with bipartisan support. So that budget bill sits in the lap of the governor. So while he's running around making the comments, disparaging comments about the budget, just be reminded it was both Republicans and Democrats.
That's right.
That voted for the budget.
So with that, we know where one of the linchpins land is, and that's the arena in Northern Virginia, Fairfax County, where the Wizards and the Capitals were wanting to relocate out of Washington, D.C., and also toll relief here in Hampton Roads. You know, what do you believe is going to happen there? Will we get the arena? Will we get the toll relief, or will we start from square one?
I'm under no illusion that our dear sister chair of Senate Finance, who has made it absolutely clear that she is not willing to have an arena sponsored by billionaires, on the backs of our citizens. When we have so many needs for the Commonwealth of Virginia that we need to address, the arena is not a priority. In the way of tolls, I was riding in the car with my wife the other day, and she said a lot of wise things. But the other day, she said, as we went through a toll, "This is highway robbery." That was an exact description, par excellence. Here we have citizens trying to make it from day to day, trying to figure out how to put their own little pies together, working 3 and 4 jobs because folks don't want to raise the minimum wage, and then we're going to slap some tolls on top of them while they're trying to drive to work.
That's right. That's right. Well, listen, your wife is a very wise woman because a lot of people believe that it's highway robbery. But at the end of the day, one thing we are lucky to have are legislators like you and others that are working towards solutions for everyday people. Now, we're coming up on the end of the show, but I want to let everybody know that Thursday, March 28th, at the Camelot Community Center in Chesapeake, 948 King Arthur Drive in Chesapeake, there will be a legislative town hall meeting sponsored by Delegate Cliff Hayes Jr., which we will feature Senator Louise Lucas, Delegate Cliff Hayes, Delegate Nadarius Clark, and Delegate Benita Anthony, and moderated by your very own Eric Clavelle here at Norfolk State. So if you can, join us there so you can hear what's going to happen and get a little bit more in depth about what we talked about here today and others. Well, listen, my good friend, thank you so much for joining us, as you always do. And as you know, we're going to have you back. You're one of our biggest friends and biggest supporters, and we thank you always for standing in the gap for your beloved NSU. Behold the green and gold.
Behold
the green and gold. Until next time, be good, be great, God bless, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Kerry Washington, and you're listening to State of the Water with award-winning host, Dr. Eric Clavelle.